While you're standing, I'll jump right into the Word. So if you want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 with me, we'll start in verse 1. I'll read the first couple verses, then we'll let you be seated. We've got a lot of reading here to do. Amen. It's Thursday night Bible study. Amen. It's good to study the Word. For 2 Samuel chapter 22. We'll start in verse 1. And here later on, I'll have a few of the youth and get a few scriptures for me as well. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." The Lord knows how to deliver. Amen. Verse 2, "And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." We know that David was no stranger to violence, but he said, "You're the one that saves me, God. You're the one that keeps me. I don't know if anyone else does a better job. I don't know of anyone else that can. But you, O Lord, you keep me." Amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. Like we said, it's good to come into the house of the Lord. It's good. Verse 32 and verse 33 as well, the same chapter, says, "For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God?" Who else do we know that is our Savior? Who else do we know that is able to save? Verse 33, "God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect." When we don't know the way, when we don't know which step to take, he is right there, right on time. Verse 37, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip." Amen. "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip." And I like to talk about the steps tonight, the steps the Lord leads us in, the steps that he takes us to. Amen. Brother Greg, you may be seated. Amen. Talking about that sure foundation tonight. I don't know about you, but I noticed it was dark out. You know, if we look outside right now, it's pretty dark. And if you try to walk to your vehicle, if you try to walk around the yard without a light, and you don't perhaps know the path too well, take it from someone who's tripped over a moonbeam, you will get hurt. Okay? I've been known to trip over nothing, much less when walking around in the dark. Amen. I found that out a few weeks ago at youth. But we're serving a God that gives us a sure foundation. He's equipped us with what we need to have an abundant life that John 10, verse 10 talks about. Not just a life that is here temporary on this earth, but an abundant life. One that goes far beyond what we can see here in this earth. Job chapter 23, verse 11 says, "My foot hath held his steps, and his way have I kept, and not declined." David talks a lot about walking with the Lord. He talks a lot about walking in the way of the Lord. And here Job is saying, "My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined." We can turn away. We have that choice. We can turn away from what God gives us, from what his statutes are, what he asks us to do. We're talking about keeping the statutes of God, walking pleasing in his sight. Now, if you go out to eat much at all, you'll probably say, "Hey, we're going out to eat this afternoon." But you know, all you know at that point is you want to go out and get something to eat. I mean, it's good to eat, right? But if you're like my wife and I, We don't have the discussion of where we're going to eat until we're going in the car. And the question always is, well, what do you want? Right? Seems like a simple question. But it is not simple at all. What do you want to eat? Oh, I don't know. You pick. Like, well, I'm feeling like Acapulco's. No, I don't want that. No. Well, what do you want? You know? And we can have this conversation time and again. What do you want? But when it comes to the Lord, we can look and see what exactly he wants from us. We can look to his word. God just doesn't lead us around jerking us this way and that. If we want to know what God wants, we read the Bible. We pray. And what we receive in prayer will always be backed up in God's word. I'm thankful that he doesn't lead us around. So what does the word say that God desires from us? You know, I usually like simple, quick, easy answers. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. Aaron, if you could grab that for me. Mark 12, verse 28 through 31. And 28 through 31. Verse 31, go ahead.
And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.
So Jesus was talking to some pretty important people. At least they seemed to think they were. And they asked him, you know, what is the greatest commandment? What is the first thing we need to do? What is this one thing? If we do this one thing, we're going to be all right. We're going to be kept on track. We're going to be obedient to the word of God. What is this one thing? And he summarized it into basically two things. First, and most important, is love God. Second was love people. Love God, love people. Now, let me give a clue to a few of us here that most of us have figured out. Not everybody is easy to love. Okay? I have been that person that is not easy to love before, more than a few times. But it's easier to love God than to love people. See, God loves us. Scripture tells us that we can love him because he first loved us. He started it. It's easy to love him. He takes care of us. He provides. He shows us what he wants from us. And he's good. Not everyone is like that. People can fail us, but God doesn't. Even in the roughest times, God cannot fail. We can fail, but God cannot fail. Now, how does this work? He just can't fail. But if God can't fail, why does such and such a situation happen? If God is so great and merciful, why do bad things happen? It's a reasonable question. Why do bad things happen? And we read from Job earlier, so let's go back and look at his story again. The book of Job has some powerful insights. We'll go to Job chapter 31, verses 4 through 6. Thomas, can you get that for us? Job chapter 31, verses 4 through 6. But before we go there, one of the youth, give me a brief overview of the book of Job. So what happened?
And through hardship and lots of trials from the devil, Job.
From who?
From the devil.
Okay.
Job kept going, kept believing in God. His friends and his family were all trying to give up.
Okay. Okay. What happened at the end? Aaron? Nathaniel? No? Double portion. God gave him back more than what he had in the beginning. Let's read Job chapter 31, verse 4. Thomas, could you read that for us? Job 31, verse 4, 5, and 6. Yes.
If I have walked in vanity or if my foot have hasted to speak, let me be weighed in it and even balanced, that God may know mine integrity.
That God may know mine integrity. What is he saying here? God, you examine me. If I've done anything against you, anything wrong, I want to know. Doth he not see my ways and count all my steps? I was looking up that word, steps. It's mentioned more than a few times in Scripture. I think I counted about 38 or so, just the word steps, not step, but steps. 38 times in Scripture. Count. He counts our steps. What I found a little bit strange, though, is Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, God and the devil were talking one day, and personally it seems a little bit strange that they'd be talking, but there they were, and it wasn't the first time. And we can read on in Job that it wasn't the last time. But they were talking one day, and God was kind of bragging on Job a little bit. God asked Satan, well, what have you been up to? He said, well, I just got back from work, walking to and fro all over the earth. He said, oh, really? We'll pick it up in Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Wouldn't we like to have that description given to us? Perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil. Isn't it good when God brags on his people? It feels good when we have his presence come in and be with us in the service like we felt here tonight. In verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? That thou bless the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. This sounds like what David was talking about. He protects. He orders. He structures. Verse 11. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. There's a little side note here. So God knows exactly what we can handle. We don't always know that. We don't always know our breaking point until we get there. See, it wasn't God that was pushing Job. It was the devil. Just like AJ mentioned earlier, the devil was tempting and trying Job. We often don't see how valuable our relationship is with God until it is challenged and tested. Remember that how gold is tried, how gold is purified? It's put in the hottest part of the fire, where everything else has to come away from it, where everything else either has fallen away or burned. And our trials, they seem to feel like that so many times. But yet what comes out? What comes out of that fire? We'll read on here in Job. Verse 12, we'll pick up again. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Verse 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And we're going to summarize here for the sake of time. But everything that Job had was suddenly erased from the face of the earth. All of his children, all of his wealth, all of his animals, all that he had was taken, was stolen from him. And not just over the course of a week or 3 weeks or a period of time. It says while the messengers were standing right there, the next one would come in. Everything just collapsed around him. His whole world was shredded in an instant. But verse 20 is what I like to focus on for just a moment. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Right away, he rose up. He humbled himself and he worshipped. That was his response. It wasn't, why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. I've been faithful, God. He worshipped. He worshipped. I love coming here and seeing the worship in this place, feeling the presence of God. His next step was worship, was honoring God. Verse 21, he says, You know what? I didn't come into this world with anything. You've blessed me. And I'll be okay if I exit without anything as well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job didn't sin. He didn't act foolishly. It wasn't a superficial worship. It wasn't a surface level worship. It was intentional, deliberate, and immediate. Didn't matter what happened. He was going to worship. He was going to honor his God. And we know that if we read on in the book of Job, we see it doesn't stop there. Even his health was taken from him. Everything else, his friends came, they criticized him. Job chapter 2, verse 9, his wife said unto him, Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. All I'm going to say is I'm thankful that I have a wife that loves God. Amen. But he even put that behind him. In all this, it says in verse 10, Job 2, verse 10, In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job 31, verse 4 says, Doth he not see my ways and count all mine steps? Verse 6, Let me be weighed in even balance that God may know my integrity. God knows exactly where we're at. Amen. I'm thankful that he can shape and mold us, even as we're in the fire. Because we know that Job and God had a talk after this. There were some things that God had to correct a little bit. God had took the time, the opportunity to shape him, to mold him. Then we know the end of the story. God blessed him with so much more. But Job worshipped. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Worship isn't just an outside visual thing. It comes from our heart. It comes with all that we are. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe that in everything, Job worshipped. It wasn't just during this time of tragedy, during this time of everything was taken from him. I believe that Job worshipped before, and it was because he worshipped before, he had that relationship with God. To when the time came, he said, yes, even in this, I will worship. Came from a deep place. Psalms 119, verse 133. It says, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps. There's a time in each one of our walks with God where we say, examine me, God. I want to draw closer to you. I want to go to that next level. But it's just not going there alone. It's bringing others with us. It's walking along with God. The interesting thing that we see in Job, that I don't see rather, is that Job was this example for his children. But it doesn't mention any of his children serving God. Not before that. If we'll all stand together. Last verse that I'll read is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. If we want to know what the next step is for us in our relationship with God, all we have to do is look to the Word. All we have to do is look to the example that Jesus set for us. And if we read that chapter, we'll see that it won't be easy. Life won't be easy. But we have a God that orders our steps. We know that he loves us and wants what is best for us. But what is best for us isn't always best to us. It can be hard. When we aren't sure the next step, whether it's in good times or bad, we can always worship. We can always worship just as Job did. Why don't we come to the altar here today, tonight? Why don't we come and worship for just a few moments? We can take time out to worship and praise and honor our God. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together.